A long time ago, beyond a galaxy far, far away. Penguin Random House Audio presents Star Wars, Thrawn Ascendancy, Book 3, Lesser Evil, by Timothy Zahn. Read for you by Mark Thompson. For thousands of years, it has been an island of calm within the chaos. It is a center of power, a model of stability, and a beacon of integrity. The nine ruling families guard it from within. The expansionary defense fleet guards it from without. Its neighbors are left in peace. Its enemies are left in ruin. It is light and culture and glory. It is the Chiss Ascendancy. Prologue. Prepare for breakout. Senior Captain Mithron Yorodo's voice echoed across the Springhawks Bridge. All officers and warriors stand prepared. We're not here to start trouble, but I intend to be ready for it. First Officer Mid-Captain Ufsa Makro scowled to himself. Of course, Senior Captain Thrawn didn't plan to start trouble. He never did. Yet somehow, trouble always seemed to happen. If that pattern was determined to continue, it couldn't have picked a better spot for it. Bad enough that Zyzek was an alien system. Worse, that Chiss records had nothing about it beyond its location and that it was a trading center for several of the small nations to the east and southeast of the Chiss Ascendancy. Even worse, that Thrawn believed this to be the system where Captain Fazeer and his fellow Wateeth had been recruited to launch their ambush attack on his ship. Worst of all, that no one else knew the Springhawk was here. They should have gone straight back to the Ascendancy. They should have left the planet Hoxim and the skirmish Simakro had privately dubbed the Battle of the Three Families and headed back to Chila for repairs, debriefing, and what was likely to be a memorable job of sweeping the whole mess out the door. All the other Chiss warships, the ones crewed exclusively by members of the Zodlak, Aragol, and Palmrio families, had done exactly that, making the slow jump-by-jump back home, while the commanders no doubt struggled to write all this up in their logs. But not the Springhawk. The hours Thrawn had spent studying the Wateeth freighter before its destruction had somehow convinced him that Zyzek was where Fazeer had come from. From there, it was only a small leap of tactical logic to swinging by that system on their way home and taking a look. Simakro understood the strategy. On one level, he even agreed with it. The Springhawk had Skywalker Chiri to speed it on its way through the twisting hyperspace pathways of the Chaos, while any observer who'd been lurking around to report on the battle would have some lesser navigator, or none at all. The fact that Thrawn could get to Zyzek ahead of that news could be a major advantage in information gathering. But that was one small plus, and it was piled on top of a whole stack of minuses. Breakout. 3, 2, 1. The star flares collapsed into stars, and the Springhawk had arrived. Full scan, Thrawn ordered.
Pay special attention to the ships in the various orbits. I want as complete a catalog of ship types as possible, along with where in the orbital stack they are.
Yes, Senior Captain,
Mid-Commander Elo Dalvumek acknowledged from the sensor station.
Carol, assist her with the cataloging,
Thrawn added.
Yes, sir.
The voice of Senior Commander Placarol Morph came over the speaker from Secondary Command.
Dolhu, mark which sectors you want us to handle from here.
Yes, Senior Commander, Dolhu said. Marking them now.
Watch for movement, either inward as an attempt to hide from us, or outward in an attempt to flee, Thrawn said. We're here to see if we can create a reaction.
He nodded toward the helm.
Asmodee, start moving us inward. Skywalker Ciri, stand ready in case we need to leave quickly.
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant Commander Tomas Mor Dhamir said from the helm.
Yes, Senior Captain.
Skywalker Ciri's caregiver Mithali Estov echoed. Simakro let his eyes sweep slowly across the bridge. Dolhu, Carol, Asmodee. Officers he'd served with a long time, dating back to when he'd commanded the Springhawk, and continuing through Thrawn's current tenure as captain. He knew them and their abilities, and trusted them with his life. Thalias, on the other hand, he focused on the caregiver as she turned back to the viewport, her hand resting reassuringly on Ciri's shoulder. Thalias was still far too much of a mystery to him, with uncertainties and doubts swirling around her. Worse, from Simakro's point of view, she carried the stench of family politics. Syndic Mithurphy and Eco had done some fancy maneuvering in order to get her aboard the Springhawk, and Simakro still didn't know what Thurfian's game was. But he would find out. He'd already planted the seeds, feeding Thalias a story and conspiracy theory that painted Thrawn in a bad light. A story he knew she would eventually spill to Thurfian, or possibly to someone else. When she did, when she betrayed that confidence, he would finally have proof that she was a spy sent to destroy, or at least damage, the Springhawk's commander. Then, maybe, he'd be able to convince Thrawn to get her off his ship. Until then, all Simakro could do was watch her and guard as best he could against any mischief she might make.
We're here to create a reaction.
Unfortunately, Simakro had seen the kind of reaction Thrawn's unexpected appearances tended to spark, especially in potentially hostile territory and moving among large numbers of probably unfriendly ships. But Thrawn was the Springhawk's commander, and he'd given an order. Simakro's job was to do everything in his power to carry it out. And if part of his duty was to defend his ship to the death, well, he was prepared to do that too.
Conquest.
General Irias Nakir gazed out the viewport of the Kilji warcruiser Whetstone at the dozens of trading ships orbiting the planet Zyzek.
Conquest. An interesting concept, is it not?
The being known as Jixtus suggested. Nakir eyed his guest. It was unsettling having to deal with a being whose garments of robe, hood, gloves, and veil wrapped him in total concealment, especially given that such complete anonymity gave him a serious negotiating advantage over Nakir and his Kilji vassals. Once Jixtus learned how to read the emotional responses reflected in the patterns of ripples and stretches that move through the dark orange Kilji skin, he would gain insight that went far deeper than Nakir's words. But Nakir had agreed to travel here with the alien, and the Kilji overlords had affirmed his decision. And so here they were. And, truth be told, Jixtus did have some intriguing ideas on how the future of the Kilji Illumin could be shaped.
People who would otherwise ignore the wisdom and guidance of the Kiljis would be encouraged to listen,
Jixtus continued.
People who would otherwise scorn and scoff at your philosophy.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?